Good morning, and welcome, Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Sherry K.B., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, December 13th, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're at Chapter 6, page 75, and into action, starting with the third paragraph, beginning with Returning Home, We Find a Place. And we're going to read through this one paragraph only, and it ends with, we have tried to make mortar without sand. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph. Today's readers are Terry S. for the 12 steps, Rhonda R. for the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Jordan L., Julie E. B., and Nan K. Our newcomer greeter today is Kaylee R. and Reggie O. for our announcements, and then Lynn has been gracious to record us this morning, Lynn S. For the share ID for yesterday's Thursday, December 12, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,812. That's 13812. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, December 13, 2019, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,817. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public, any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Terry S. to read our 12 steps of OA. Terry, good morning.
Good morning. This is Terry S., recovered food addict in Bend, Oregon. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
And thank you, Terry S., for your service this morning. And Rhonda R., please read our 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Sherry, and everyone on the line. My name is Rhonda R. from Georgia. 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA name ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name or any related facility or outside enterprise to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to be of service.
And thank you for being of service this morning, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. That does include your mute button on your phone, so please just use star 1 to mute and to unmute. We'd appreciate that. That way we can have a nice quiet meeting. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 75, and we're going to be reading the third paragraph, beginning with returning home. And now we'll have Jordan L. get us begin to read. Jordan? Jordan L., you there?
Morning, Sherry. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Jordan. Thank you.
Okay, awesome. My name is Jordan L. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in snowy Colorado this morning. I'm planning on skiing this afternoon. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first 5 proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything, so we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? If we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step 6. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now willing, or are we now ready?
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Jordan, but we're only reading that one paragraph. Have we made?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you so much.
Sorry, the paragraphs aren't indented on my phone. So
oh,
I thought that
okay.
was continued.
Well, we're just really going to read and comment on that one paragraph. Thanks so much. Love to hear your share.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sherry. I've come to find out that reflection is a really important part of all of this. That there's like quite a bit of it actually. And of course, like I think that I was probably, when I first came in, I was probably opposed to it, only because it tended to get into, it just always tended to be very critical. Any reflection I had tended to be very critical of
myself mostly, and I would sort of turn that around and turn that critical view of myself towards the world as well. And it got like pretty morbid, so I was pretty adverse to it when I got here, only because it had been such a negative thing for me in the past. And luckily, when I fist stepped, just under 2 years ago, with the sponsor that I had at the time, she actually didn't give me a whole lot of feedback. She really just listened. There were a couple of things that she said throughout the process, and I think because it was only a few things, and she didn't offer a whole lot of feedback, I listened really closely to some of the things she was saying, and used that during my reflection time, and still do today. As far as like taking some small spiritual advice, and seeing how it is that I can apply it and actually practice it. Just today, like just in the 24 hours that I have ahead of me, you know? So I do this a lot these days, actually. I have like my quiet hours. I have one when I, maybe not a full hour these days, but I have one when I get up in the morning. I have some quiet time on my commute to work because I don't get service, phone service. So, it kind of unplugs me from the world for 20 minutes, and I get a chance to connect with that power that at the end of the day, like that's what I have. That's the real substance that I have in this world today, is that connection with a higher power and with you all. So anyway, that's all I got this morning. I passed.
Thank you, Jordan, for getting us started. So just reminding everybody, we are in Chapter 6, End Action, starting on page 75, third paragraph, returning home, ends with try to make mortar without sand. Who would like to share this morning on this? Okay, did
Christina
I think I heard Barbara E. and Julie E. B.
Christina
Bruce
J.
E.
Irene B.
Okay, Bruce. And
Irene B.
I got you, Irene.
Thank you.
Christina J.
I got you too, Christina J. Okay, so far I have Barbara E., Julie E.B., Bruce E., we got some E's going here, Christina J., Irene B., sorry about that, Irene, and I can take one more.
Reggie O.,
all right, we got our lineup this morning, folks. Okay, so we have Barbara E., Julie E.B., Bruce E., Christina J., Irene B., and Reggie O. Barbara E., you're up, followed by Julie E.B. Good morning, Barbara. Star 110.
Good morning. Did you call my name? I was unmuting myself.
I did. Okay. Good morning.
Thank you so much for hearing my name. I love when I get to listen to and sometimes participate in this beautiful meeting. I really appreciated being given that hour to reflect. Because what I took it to mean is, had I skimped on anything, had I held anything back, a resentment, a thrill, a restitution that I refuse to even consider making now, ever, in the future. So that hour meant a lot to me, and I have a hummingbird brain, so it was very hard for me to sit still for an hour. But I did it, and I did find that I had skimped a little bit on the sand that needed to go in to make that firm mortar. And I noticed that in this book, Bill W. makes a number of construction references. I'm sure you've noticed that way too. The archway to freedom is complete after finishing the fifth step. And if you've ever walked through the monument in St. Louis, the arch, you know how important it is that that keystone be in place. And the bedrock, he uses the term also in the 12 and 12, our admission of our personal powerlessness, and then the foundation, being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. You mean there's a power greater than me? And the cement, we found a common solution. We are all here. Thank God it's a broad highway because there are so many of us on it. And the cornerstone, do I believe or am I even willing to believe there's a power greater than myself? And the keystone, of course, God was going to have to be the director. And most good ideas are simple. And this concept was the keystone of that new and triumphant arch we're all about to pass through. And I didn't feel all those promises come true for me right after step five. I have to be honest with that. But when I did got through with step nine and started to feel the promises of step 10, something beautiful opened up to me. But it wouldn't have if I kept something secret to myself, a thrill, a restitution, a resentment. So I needed that hour, and I took it, and I used it to my advantage, and I have never regretted it in the 20 years that I've been in OA. I am grateful for everything that you have given me, and I pass.
Thank you, Barbara E. Julie E.B., you're up, followed by Bruce E. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E.B. calling from sunny Colorado. Sorry, Jordan. And 38 degrees, but the storm's coming to us this weekend. But anyway, isn't that the way life is? It's different from every place we look at it. And I think it's so amazing that this paragraph is here. What happened with me was I was so grateful to give away my fifth step. I was scared. And then I was grateful. And as I took this hour, which for me had to be taken in the car because I had wrangly teenagers waiting at home, as I took this hour, it began to help. All the analysis is a word we don't talk a lot about. It's there in the fourth and fifth step. But all the analysis that I'd done, I had begun to put all these pieces together. And as I went through, as someone shared on the earlier meeting, the five steps and how going through these five proposals, these five steps, I recognized that the whole thing, the cornerstone to the whole thing, was built on the fact that I had found a God who is gracious. I was returning to a God who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and returning to that higher power, that kind of higher power, instead of my you're never good enough lower power, was what allowed me then to write during this hour a relationship ideal. And I'd been concerned because I hadn't written one during my fourth step and I'd heard about it. But it allowed me to, just as I sat quietly, I felt led to write this. And it turns out that it's out of knowing the character of my higher power that I would then have these relationship ideals. I would see that most of my resentments were made worse by brainstorming, by self-pity. For me, it was self-pity, resentment, food. I would see that all of my fears kicked up the most when I looked to other people, places, and things for care and protection that I needed to get from my gracious and loving God. I would see that the harms that I had carried were limiting my usefulness through worry, remorse, and morbid reflection. And I would see that God needed me to be trustworthy and reliable for my kids, for my job, for my husband, when I had been all over the map before. And so it truly was a time to look and see how all the cement went together. There's a television show that's about the Korean War, that's a comedy show, and they make the wrong cement. They lay an entire floor without the right recipe, and everything does not set properly. So this is a chance to not to work at it, but this is a moment when my higher power allowed me to just see what was building, to see the foundation and the stones that were there, and that cornerstone of my higher power. And by seeing this, I had a unique point of view because I stopped looking at the second half of this program, sorry about that, as a self-improvement program, which I think is a major flaw. If I go, don't set this in place, I'm going to look at 6 through 12 and try and do it on myself well. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie B. Bruce E., you're up, followed by Christina J. Good morning, Bruce.
Hello, this is Bruce E. I'm in sunny, well, today isn't sunny. Might have one of the first on sunny days of the year today, but it's like walking in a sauna, though, so you don't have to buy a sauna here. You just walk outside and you're in one. But happy to be here, grateful. Grateful to be on this call. Bruce E., recovering in Southwest Florida. And, returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. Well, let's see. Envision, the first couple times I did this step, I didn't do that. I just missed that part of it. And I heard on the line, man, you got to be kidding. Do something for an hour? I've never done anything for a solid hour in my life, not even eat for a solid hour. You know, I somehow took a break in there somewhere. So I got to do something for a solid hour. So the last time I went through this step, I did sit down. I went out on the porch, sat there, looked at the stars, and it was dark, it was at night. Really thought about this and thought about myself. Probably the reason why I didn't do this step there, this hour deal before, was because I didn't want to look at it. I didn't want to think, oh, I missed something. Now I got to call my sponsor back. Oh, I got to go back through that again. You know, so I wasn't totally honest. So the last time I did it, you know, I think I was more honest and went back through and really thought about it. You know, was there anything else? You know, is there anything else? Did I miss anything? You know, that's what I think you're talking about on building this arch here. Did I skimp on the cement, or did I try to do it without sand? So did I miss something in this inventory process that I was supposed to share with my sponsor that I didn't share? You know, what was there that I didn't share? You know, where did I skimp on it? Where did I try to make this arch without sand? And as we know, we can't make mortar without sand. We got to have sand. If you don't have sand, you don't do it. Doesn't happen. And if we skimp on the cement, then we have a shaky foundation, don't we? So is our work solid so far? You know, I mean, I got to be solid in this thing. I got to really be honest. I got to be really not be dishonest. And that means about every part of my life, you know, with my wife, with others, with my sponsor, with this program. I got to be honest. So taking this book down from the shelf, dust it off, turn to the page which contains the 12 steps, carefully reading the 5 proposals, that's the 5 steps, first 5 steps. Have I omitted anything? What did I miss? Am I really powerless over this stuff? I'm powerless over this junk, right? I really am powerless over this, as well as everything else. My life has been totally unmanageable. Man, it sure has. And I turn my will and my life over to care of God as I understand Him. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Brucey. Christina J., you're up, followed by Irene B. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, Sherry. Thank you for your service. Thanks to everyone on the line so far. The meetings have been incredible. I thought, well, what can we certainly share on this paragraph? But, man, it's been cracked open. Christina J. recovered from the state of Washington, and since we're all giving weather reports, it's raining. Anyway, I'm grateful. So Bill really knew what was going on here. We just finished dumping our don't want to say dump, but sometimes it feels like that, dumping all that four-step stuff out of ourselves. We're raw. We're empty. We're sitting there looking at these promises in the previous paragraph. We're starting to feel some of those things. We're making a beginning on some of those things. And what do? For me, taking this hour was crucial because I was ramped. I was shell-shocked. I was like, oh, my God, the things I discovered in that last paragraph were something that I'd never even seen before in my entire however many years it was, 55, at that point. So I thought for a minute, you know, when I got done with that fourth and was sitting there in that hour, God, this is going to, an hour, it's going to be forever. But Bill gives us directions here. We get quiet. First thing we do is we thank God. We thank God. The block is beginning to be removed. I felt an emptiness within me. And I started to do what he said. I took the book, I opened, and I looked at those five first proposals. He gives us instructions. We don't have to sit there going, well, what do I do now? Okay, I'm supposed to, how do I do this? He tells us exactly what to do. We review. We contemplate. I looked at what I'd written. Did I leave anything out? Because it's important. This is the beginning of the building of the arch that we're going to walk through to freedom. And we know just, I've heard a lot of people share that they share on this fifth step, and then they're talking about 10, keeping clean daily. But there's more work after this. There's a couple of prayers we do, releasing, and then we got to get to work on 8 and 9 before we get to that 10th, 11th, and 12th. So it's crucial that we look to see if there's anything else right now. And, of course, there's going to be other stuff come up. There has been stuff for me through the years. I'm like, oh, I forgot that. All right, let me either do a 10th or let me do a full 4th or let me go back through the steps. This is a continued work. But Bill knew how to take us through this. He was so gentle and so wonderful as he would interweave the stories of suffering with the stories of the promises and the things we must do, the suggested things and the things we must do. Because I have a built-in forgetter. So this paragraph allows me to sit down and search with God's help, because I'm actually giving this, I actually gave my 4th step to God. And now I'm contemplating, what else, God? What if it's my really first chance to really connect with God in a way that I'd never connected with him before. So very important section, this hour. Gosh darn it, let's learn to take hours. I'm going to finish up. Let's learn to pause and get close to that higher power and ask him into every decision. That's what I never did in my life, and that's what I've learned to do in this program. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Christina J. Irene B., you're up, followed by Reggie O. Good morning, Irene.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I am Irene B., a gratefully recovered bulimic and an imperfect eater from muggy Baton Rouge, Louisiana. That's my attempt at humor, y'all. Okay, so did we leave anything out? Did we leave anything out? You know what? I did. I left some stuff out that I need to get off my chest. God is talking to me. When I hear people say that we're addicts and we lie, cheat, and steal, I feel so freed because I know I'm not the only one. So I've been sitting here in this program for like a year and listening to some brave souls be totally honest and humble and say that they're addicts and they lie, cheat, and steal, manipulate, and do all kind of terrible things. Well, you know what? I do too. And let me tell you all something. My identity is with being a victim. When I was a child, I was a victim, no question about it. But you know what? I'm not a child anymore. I'm not a child anymore. I'm not a victim. I have control over who I interact with, where I go, where I stay, what I run away from, and where I stay. I am not a victim. And let me tell y'all, I am greedy. I am so greedy. And I am greedy with my recovery, too. And I want my recovery more than I want anything. And I'm super greedy. I'm greedy with everything. Everything I want more and more. And, yes, we all admit to that. But for me, there is such shame with that. Because my greed has pushed people away from me. Yeah, it has. And I'm not a victim. You know, everything has consequences. And I just need to own up that I am imperfect, that I need to learn to be, I need to train myself to come out of self do not be so self-absorbed and so focused on my pain and my misery, and to look around and be of service and notice how the other person might be feeling and see that it's not all about me. It's about everybody. It's about give and take. And I'm so afraid of being taken advantage of that I think, oh my gosh, this is so humiliating. I can't believe I'm going to say this. I take advantage of people, I think. And I think I'm embarrassed to say that, but I said it, and it's true. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Irene B. And before we hear from Reggie O., just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 75, the third paragraph, Returning Home. We're reading through that one paragraph, ending in, we have tried to make mortar without sand, have we? All right. So, Reggie O., you're up, and we'll take some names after Reggie. Good morning, Reggie.
Good morning again. Thank you, Sherry KB, and everybody on the line this morning. What beautiful shares and what a beautiful paragraph. My name's Reggie O. I'm gratefully recovered here in the Los Angeles area. And I was just really struck. I circled it before the meeting when Sherry mentioned so returning home. That was right when the meeting started. I don't remember. I just had never looked at it that way before. You know, it's like in the fifth step, the fifth step, we give away, we share with another human being and God and ourselves these things that, for me, you know, that I had run from, hidden, hadn't acknowledged, didn't want anyone to know about me, tried to hide, you know. So I've, all the things, so many things that had blocked me from my relationship with God and from other human beings and my relationship with myself. Having just sort of let go of so many of these blocks through doing and the fourth step and then giving the fifth step away, it is like a returning home, or the possibility is like a returning home, you know. So, and being quiet for an hour, you know, I've done a lot of fifth steps, and that's been, I realize reading this, you know, early on, one of the most difficult parts for me was to have just sat and, you know, shared with another human being things that were, you know, challenging to share, that were, you know, but were so freeing. And then to sit, you know, to take that hour to sit. And I was, you know, thinking, we thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. So, you know, this, what did I just write? The importance and the intimacy of this hour, you know, I realized that intimacy has been a very challenging thing in my life and one of my fears. And this hour requires me to be intimate, you know. Thank God from the bottom of my heart that I know him better. And then I get to really look at, honestly, you know, the first five steps. Have I truly admitted I'm powerless over food and that my life has become unmanageable? Am I working, you know, from entire abstinence? Do I need to look at anything there? Have I come to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity, you know, because I have to get out of the power seat if I'm going to actually believe that. And then turning, you know, made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of this power and acting on that, acting in faith by doing the fourth and then giving it away to another human being, God and myself. It's really totally amazing. And I'm just, you know, it makes me think of this as a sponsor. You know, I've sponsored a couple of people and they haven't been able to take the time right after, you know, I don't even remember when, but they haven't been able to take the time right after the fifth, but they would set a time later. You know, it makes me think as a sponsor and the next, you know, next time I do this to make sure that this time is available after. It's absolutely not to be missed in my book. So I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Reggie O. Okay, so we're going to take some more names here, just reminding everybody we're on page 75, the third paragraph. Who would like to share this morning?
Terry S.
Donna B.
Okay, I heard Terry S. And who was behind Terry?
Shlomi Hanna B.
Shlomi Hanna B.
Karen T.
Karen T. Who else? It's a beautiful paragraph this morning, folks. Got three more slots. Come on in. The water's warm.
Lisa J.R.
Money's in.
I'm sorry, who was after Lisa J.R.?
Juanice N.
Juanice N?
J-U-A-N-I-C-E.
Juanice N. As in
Nancy? N as in Nancy, yes.
Thank you, Juanice. All right, we'll take one more after Juanice. Sorry?
Gina B.
Gina B. All right. So I think we have our lineup here. We have Terry S., Shlomi Hanna B., Karen T., Lisa J.R., Denise N., and Tina B. All right, Terry S., please go ahead. Good morning again.
Good morning. This is Terry S. from Bend, Oregon, recovered food addict. And this paragraph, I've done it and not done it. I've done a few versions of the fourth step that were much more arduous, I guess. It was like a question every day, and you shared it with your sponsor. So it wasn't the dramatic sitting down for several hours. But the fourth steps and the fifth steps that I've done in the usual manner of sitting down with a sponsor for a few hours and going through the stuff, I remember returning home. I already had the book with me, but I felt so raw and ramped up that it was really difficult to see how did I know God better? Did I really know God better? And I would try to sit there in gratitude, and the overwhelm would just be such that I wasn't feeling the promises, and I just had to trust that I had done my work, that I was able to put the sand in the mortar. And if you've ever laid bricks with your dad, sand makes cement very gritty, and it rubs your skin raw. And that's how I felt. And as the days would go by, that's when I would begin to see the promise of this step. I was beginning to know my higher power better, and my skin wasn't quite so raw. And I really, really appreciated that Bill and the first 100 that wrote the big book, you know, they really tried to put into words their experience with each step. And I found a sense of relief and release, but it didn't happen for me in an hour. And I'm not terminally unique. It takes me a little bit longer to process stuff sometimes. But I'm very, very grateful. And as I've gone through the rest of the steps, you know, the process just gets more and more amazing. And the promises are happening for me. My life is transforming. And I'm so grateful. I'm really glad to be here this morning. Thank you, everyone. And with that, I pass.
Terry S., Shlomi Hanna B., you're up, followed by Karen T. Shlomi Hanna, good morning.
Yes, I am Shlomi Hanna B., and I am recovering today and so grateful for this meeting. Thank you to the moderator and to everybody and the timekeeper for being here. And, you know, when I first looked at this paragraph, I didn't really think that I was going to have a lot to share on it, but I am actually mistaken. The idea of sitting for an hour after having done a fifth step is excruciating for me. The last time I did my fifth step, I did try to do that, and I think I cheated a little bit because I just couldn't, you know. I don't think I really knew what I was supposed to do. And I really, really appreciated hearing about the fact that, you know, in the big book, it doesn't just say, okay, sit for an hour. It tells us what that hour is supposed to look like, what we're supposed to be doing. It gives direction. And for me, that really makes all the difference in the world because, you know, after going through a fourth step, which is, you know, and a fifth step, which is an amazing experience, to just sit there for an hour kind of aimlessly, I think is anticlimactic for me. But, you know, one of the things I was thinking about is just the wisdom in all of this because, you know I can't speak for other people. I can speak for myself. I know that I'm always on the run, you know, do, and hurry, always in a hurry, you know, and that includes being in the steps. Like, I want to get through the steps, you know, and it's not a bad thing, you know, like, it's an enthusiastic being in a hurry, you know. I want to go through the steps. So I want to get well. I want to have recovery, and I want it now. And what this hour makes us do is to stop writing, stop talking, and just sit. And sit with God. That's what we're doing. We're sitting with God. You know, step 11 is all about prayer and meditation, which is all about getting ourselves quiet within so that we can hear God. And I really think, at least my interpretation of this, is that that hour is the same thing. It's about getting quiet within myself and sitting with God, really contemplating what I just did, and letting God talk through me and work through me to show me if this step is complete or if there's something missing. And if I hear that there's something missing, okay, then I'll just add it in. And if not, then it's complete. Thank you.
Thank you, Shlomi Hana B. And Karen, if you're not Karen T, could you please star one to mute your line so that we can hear have a quiet meeting? Good morning, Karen, and you'll be followed by Lisa J.R. Karen, good
Great.
Morning.
Great. Hi. Hello. This is Karen, compulsive reader from New Orleans. I am so grateful to be here live. I don't usually come live. I love this hour. You know, if I carefully read the first five proposals of the first five steps, you know, it's really, you know, searching my heart. Have I admitted anything? Is there any lurking notion that someday I'll be immune? That kind of thing for step one. And really, have I turned my will and my life over to the care of God? And step three, and have I admitted anything in this moral inventory that I just did? It's been a wonderful experience for me to make sure that I have taken the first five steps totally. And for any big book people out there, you know, this arch that we're making to walk through, a free person, on page 12, it talks about the foundation. On page 47 of the big book, it talks about the cornerstone. And on page 62, it talks about the keystone. So, and then here on page 75, it talks about the cement. So hopefully that might help someone. And I also wanted to echo what Reggie had shared. I find that I really need to mention this hour to my sponsees as I'm setting up the time to do the fifth step. So they're going to spend time on the fifth step with me, but then they have to spend an hour right after. So just to put that in the expectations and for them to block that out. I have heard a fifth step from sponsee who had 7 children. And that was very important for her to make that time to carve that out. It wasn't easy for her to find it. And I have felt like I've lost the willingness of a couple sponsees because it was hard for them to take this hour. And so I just wanted to echo that. That's something that I try and do as a sponsor, is to mention this paragraph as we're setting up the appointment for the fifth step. And then the last thing I want to say is that this is our first time, maybe, of really meditating, of doing a step 11, praying only for the knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen T. So we've got about 3 minutes left, and we have 3 shares. So I'm going to ask that you take a minute each, if you can. Lisa J.R., you're up, followed by Janice N. Lisa, good morning.
Sherry, this is Lisa J.R. Glad to be here, but I'm going to pass because I want to hear from others.
Well, thank you, Lisa J.R. That's very kind. So we'll get 1.5 minutes each. Janice N., you're up, followed by Tina B. Janice?
Hi, my name is
Juanice. Please go ahead.
Okay, it's okay. All the time. And I'm a compulsive overeater in California. And I will be really quick. I just had to get this out of my chest. You know, I'm a recovering alcoholic. I've been working the steps and sober for the last 17 years. I struggle with food like I'm sure all you guys can understand. It's absolutely horrifying. And I've been through the steps so many times, and I am just, since I've been listening to this A Vision for You, and also through one of your members that does a 12-step big book study on YouTube, Laurie, I think his name is, which is the reason why I came to this meeting. But I am seeing how I have just really left out so much of the, I've never done this hour in all of the years. It's just by the grace of God that I've stayed sober and clean. I've never done this hour. And I also realized, too, that I've never done a fear. I've done many resentment inventories, never a fear inventory, never a thorough sex or fear inventory. And so I'm just grateful to be here. I have so much hope. I trust this process with all of my heart. I've seen it work. I know it works. It's just that I didn't build the arch. And that's the other thing I didn't realize. I have to build the arch for me to walk to freedom, you know? And it has to be built exactly the way they said it's built. The big book says we show you precisely how we have recovered, not pick and choose and do what you want and leave out the rest.
Hi.
So anyway, I'm grateful I'm here, and that's all thanks.
Well, thank you, Juanice, and welcome home. Tina B., you're up. You're going to take us out. Good morning, Tina B.
Hi, everyone. How much time do I have? Can you hear me?
Head, please. Tina?
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. How much time do I have? Okay, anyway, I'll just go ahead and give it a shot. Hi, everybody. My name is Tina B. I'm in Los Angeles. I just turned 30 a couple days ago, and I've been in program since earlier this year. And I have to say, when I discovered this call, wow, what a gift. This is such an enlightening and enlivening call. It's been wonderful, and I really don't ever share. I'm still trying to work on that, maybe be more comfortable with sharing, but you know, I had some struggles this week as they pertain to my work life, which my career has always been very important to me, probably too much so. And so I just wanted to share today because there are some things that are going on that has really affected me. And you know, I did good with the eating for about 24 hours of the storm that I was experiencing at work. And then last night. I had a slip.
I'm sorry, but we're going to have to cut it short. We've got to end our meeting. Welcome home. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
Please keep calling back. Calling back.
Thank you.
So, well, we've had some wonderful shares this morning. I want to thank everybody who participated in this meeting, Team Friday. Terry S., Rhonda R., Julie E. B., Nan K., Jordan L., Kaylee R., Reggie O., and Lynn S. Thank you all so much for your service this morning. All right. So, with that, we're going to have Julie E. B. read the closing on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Julie E. B., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Julie?
Hi, this is Julie E. B., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of body and mind. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past, give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.